This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Officials this week plan to hold a ribbon cutting for a pilot-scale processing plant at West Virginia University, aimed at recovering rare earth elements from coal and its byproducts. Brittany Patterson has more.
A ceremony is scheduled Wednesday at the National Research Center for Coal and Energy on WVU's Evansdale campus in Morgantown. University officials say the goal of the project is to test the feasibility of recovering valuable rare earth elements from coal waste on a commercial scale. That includes pulling out rare earth elements from acid mine drainage, which is the most abundant pollutant in West Virginia waters. WVU says if successful, the process would provide a source of these rare elements that currently doesn't exist in the United States. Rare earth elements are used in devices such as cell phones, medical equipment, and defense applications. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Brittany Patterson in Morgantown.
Pledges totaling $1.1 million have been made for a West Virginia library expansion and renovation. The Greater Kanawha Valley Foundation is giving $1 million to the Kanawha County Public Library, and an anonymous donor is giving $100,000. Pledges were announced Friday at the library. Library Marketing and Development Manager Terry Wooten said officials are trying to raise $27 million for the project, with about $6 million still to go. He said construction should begin early next year and is expected to last 18 to 24 months. Authorities say a train in West Virginia fatally struck a man who was walking on a railroad track while listening to music with his earbuds. The Putnam County Sheriff's Office said in a Facebook post that 23-year-old Tyler Blake Smith was also carrying a skateboard while walking on the track Sunday night. The CSX train approached him from behind, and the conductor blew his air horn until the train struck Smith. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:46. Variable cloudiness today. There's a chance of scattered rain and thunderstorms with highs in the 80s. Clear skies tonight with lows in the 60s. Mostly sunny tomorrow with highs in the 80s. Support for the weather forecast is provided by Erie Insurance, putting service first since 1925. Local agents available at erieinsurance.com. And by the First State Capitol, working with the Walls Foundation in Wheeling to present a labor history symposium this September. More information at walswheeling.com. On our most recent episode of Inside Appalachia, we hear about several pipeline projects planned for West Virginia, including the Mountain Valley Pipeline, or MVP. The episode features one story about why pipeline protesters began scaling trees to block the MVP. Mason Adams is a Virginia-based journalist writing for Blue Ridge Outdoors and Belt magazines. He covered the tensions between protesters, law enforcement officials, and the pipeline company. WVPB's energy and environment reporter Brittany Patterson spoke with Adams to talk about what some drastic measures some landowners have turned to protest the pipeline.
Mason, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thanks. I'm glad to be here.
You grew up in the Allegheny Highlands in the small railroad town of Clifton Forge, Virginia, and that's not too far from Peters Mountain, where protesters in late February started climbing into trees near the Appalachian Trail to block pipeline crews from cutting down trees. Why were they taking such drastic action?
Well, the protesters climbed up in Jefferson National Forest, just on the West Virginia side of the state line. The first tree sitters that went up were encamped to block a hole that was going to be bored underneath the Appalachian Trail. There's this resistance was staged at a key site. Folks were pretty worried about the environmental devastation that could result. They were worried about the construction. They were worried about the potential for explosions. And taking a stand at the Appalachian trail. I guess from an activist perspective, it would seem to like activate opposition around a public asset.
In April, you began spending some time at some of these sites. Could you tell us a little bit about Red Terry?
Well, Red Terry is the nickname for Teresa Terry, who is a 61-year-old woman. Her family, she married into the Terry family. Her husband, Coles, is sixth generation on that land atop Bent Mountain. Her daughter, Minor, who is one of the other tree sitters, is seventh generation. They have an orchard up there. They're just outside of Roanoke. It's just up a mountain, but it feels like it could be a world away. Terry family has been fighting the pipeline pretty much since it was proposed in 2014. They've showed up at open houses. They voiced comments. They fought it in court. But basically in March, a judge awarded right of eminent domain to the pipeline over about 300 landowners in Virginia who had opposed it. And the Terry families were among those. And Red Terry told me that she was inspired by the tree sitters on Peters Mountain. So she and her family built the tree stands. And then in early April, I think April 2nd, she and Minor took to the trees.
And you visited their camp shortly after they scaled the trees. What did it look like?
Well, it took me a little while to find the property. I had the address, but some of the roads aren't real well marked. We're talking about a pretty rural area. When I finally did find the right encampment, I could tell because I saw orange crime scene tape. Bottom Creek runs all through there, but it's multiple channels. So it also took a while to actually get to the encampment. When I walked up, there was a smoldering campfire, a couple of tents that had been about 30 degrees the night before. And when I walked up, there was a list of rules, which was for both media visitors, supporters, essentially trying to establish a code of conduct.
And how long had Red been up when you visited?
She'd been up for about 3 weeks, I think, at that point.
And you spoke a little bit with her while she was up there. Let's take a listen.
Hi, Red. I live up in Czech. How are you doing up there?
I'm doing okay. I'm almost past my withdrawals.
Withdrawals for?
My cigarette.
I imagine the situation for getting provisions to someone 30 feet up into a tree can be challenging. There were also some tensions there, right?
So originally, Red and Minor had a system for being resupplied with some ropes where supporters would attach the gear to these ropes that would be lowered down and they would pull the rope up. You know, less than a week into the tree sits, though, the areas around the tree sits were taped off with crime scene tape. Supporters were not allowed to resupply them. So on the day I visited, for example, Red still had plenty of food, but she was complaining about running out of cigarettes and the law enforcement and security would not resupply her. Later, it kind of became a point of contention. And actually, the Roanoke County police did begin feeding Red and Minor upon request. They had bologna sandwiches and some fruit that they would send up to them. It really varied by tree sit, though. In Franklin County, the tree sits were never really roped off, so those folks were able to still receive supplies from the people on the ground. In Giles County, however, in Peters Mountain, National Forest officials prevented supporters from sending up food. So in some cases, you had people living off energy bars and harvested rainwater for weeks at a time.
You had a chance to talk to Red and her daughter, Minor. What did they tell you that they wanted people to know from their experience doing this?
The first thing they wanted was for the state boards in Virginia and West Virginia to revisit the water permits. Other states like New York have stopped pipelines by refusing to issue water quality permits. So that was a point of focus in Virginia. On top of that, they basically wanted folks to get involved. They wanted them to contact the governor. They wanted them to contact their elected officials. And the third thing they were trying to do with the tree sits, really, was they were trying to kind of buy time to delay construction of the pipelines, to give the regulatory process more of a chance to work out, to give the judicial cases against the pipeline more of a chance to play out.
And how did Red feel about this pipeline in particular running through her land?
Well, she told me, you know, this land is my heart.
I don't want a bomb in my backyard. It's going to the side of me and behind me. I don't I don't want to know that at any minute my whole family's wiped off the face of this earth.
So Red stayed up there for 34 days, and then in early May, a federal judge ruled that she could be fined $1,000 a day if they didn't come down. They decided to come down. What happened next?
Well, the Terrys called a press conference at their land, and everyone kind of gathered at Miner's stand first, and eventually she linked herself up in the ropes and sort of rappelled down the tree, at which point she went, she was still inside the crime scene tape. She disappeared into a tent with local law enforcement and was served a summons for trespassing. Then after that, everybody sort of started walking the 150 or so yards to Red's tree stand. It took a little longer. Red's a little older. And then shockingly, at the moment her feet touched the ground, like literally the moment her feet touched the ground, this Mountain Valley Pipeline contractor crew with chainsaws like comes out of the woods and blaze orange and like starts getting jeered. People are cussing at them and screaming and yelling. And after the crew was escorted away, Red, you know, she walked over to the tent with law enforcement, got served her summons, and then came out and, you know, hugged her husband Coles. You know, she'd been up in the wood, in the tree stand for 34 days. That's a long time to go without touching somebody, without hugging somebody. She comes out and then basically held the same thing as Miner and talked to press for a while. Here's a little bit of what she had to say.
I got their attention. Now let's go ahead and start the fight. You know what I mean? Let's fight now. I'm happy to be down. I'm happy. I'm going to eat some hot food. And I'm going to get a shower soon. I might be much more pleasant then.
In Appalachia, these pipelines keep cropping up. We keep seeing more and more of them. And, you know, it's not a small thing to decide to live 30 feet up off the ground to protect your land or your trees. From talking with many of these protesters, why do you think they risk life and limb and possibly jail time to do this?
I think the people who oppose these pipelines, you know, some of them are folks who came out of those mountaintop removal wars in West Virginia. Appalachian Voices, which was pretty active in some of those battles, pipelines have kind of now become their central focus. So some of this for folks is all about the environment and where they live. For some folks, it's very much about water quality. It's about preserving historic sites that are along the pipeline route. And for some folks like the Terrys, it's very much about their land. You know, they have seven generations of connection to that land. And what's interesting about them is the Terrys were known by the names. People knew who they were. They knew the family's connection to the land. And that made them sort of a rallying point for a pretty broad ideological spectrum of people. You had environmentalists worried about Bottom Creek and the trees on the property. You had Tea Party folks and property rights advocates who came because they were concerned about the use of eminent domain. They say this is an abuse of eminent domain. I'm aware that even some 3% militia came up, not wearing their colors or open carrying firearms necessarily, but they were interested in coming up to show their support for the Terrys as well. So what's interesting is that this isn't just an environmental issue. It's also a property rights issue. And as a result, you've kind of got a pretty wide, broad coalition of folks who are fighting these pipelines.
Mason, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you for having me.
Mason Adams is a freelance journalist based in Charlottesville, Virginia. He was speaking with our energy and environment reporter, Brittany Patterson. Brittany's reporting comes to us from the Ohio Valley Resource, a public media collaborative joining newsrooms in Kentucky, Ohio, and West Virginia. The resource is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and West Virginia Public Broadcasting. And you can find this episode of Inside Appalachia at wvpublic.org or wherever you download your podcasts. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.